what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Choke and say, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel just read, from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew, the 32nd and the 33rd verses. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" There is something wonderfully basic in the passages of Holy Scripture read in church on this Lord's Day. Consider the short reading from the book of the prophet Micah, who lived in troubled times. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And then St. Paul, in his letter from prison in Rome to the church in Philippi, proclaims his certainty that the Lord who has begun the good work in them will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, that last day of his appearing in glory with all the holy angels. And then finally, we have the Holy Gospel, which is a great lesson in forgiveness. While explaining the creed in his large catechism, Dr. Luther has this to say: "Toward forgiveness is directed everything that is to be preached concerning the sacraments, and in short, the entire gospel and all the duties of Christianity. Forgiveness is needed constantly, for although God's grace has been won by Christ and holiness has been wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word in the unity of the Christian church, yet because we are encumbered with our fallen nature, we are never without sin." Yes, toward forgiveness is directed everything that is to be preached. And the gospel for this Lord's Day is all about forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus replies, "I do not say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven." Seven in the scriptures is a number that stands for perfection. 70 times seven, therefore, means perfectly and without limit. And to illustrate this point, Jesus tells the parable of how after a king had forgiven a servant who owed him 10,000 talents, that's about $5 million, that same servant then refused to forgive a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, and that's about $10. $10 compared to $5 million. The first servant had been forgiven an enormous debt that he could never hope to pay. But then he refuses to forgive a fellow servant who owed him only a paltry sum. In telling this parable, our Lord wants us to see him and also to see ourselves. God is our maker, and we therefore owe him love, we owe him obedience, which we repeatedly refuse to give him, and yet he still forgives. We refuse to extend forgiveness to fellow sinners. The forgiveness of God is daily extended to us who don't deserve it, and we are called to extend mercy to others. If we refuse to do that, we simply aren't growing in likeness to Christ, who is the express image, the very likeness of the Father, who is the great Forgiver, as we sang in that wonderfully simple opening hymn, Father-like, he tends and spares us, well our feeble frame he knows. Now all of us know that at times in life, we come up against situations where we find it all but impossible to forgive. So what are we then to do? We need to remember where we stand. Where we stand. And where do we stand? Every one of us, without exception, stands before the judgment seat of God in need of his mercy. We find ourselves under judgment. But we also find ourselves under mercy. In the parable Jesus told, the king, out of sheer pity, forgives the enormously indebted servant his debt. And this is what God has done for us out of sheer pity, at tremendous cost to himself, the agonizing death of his own dear son on the wood of the cross. As Dr. Luther sings in one of his wonderful hymns, a father's heart he turned to me, sought my redemption fervently, he gave his dearest treasure. So where do we stand? We stand under judgment and also under mercy. Before the judgment seat of God, we are all alike sinners in need of mercy. Before the cross of Jesus, we are all alike forgiven sinners. And if we refuse forgiveness to fellow sinners, who are no less weak and frail than we ourselves are, how can we expect to be forgiven by God? So how do you forgive, especially when you feel like you'll never be able to forgive the one who has done you harm? Remember where you are, under the judgment of God, a poor sinner in need of mercy, and under the cross of Christ, a sinner who has received mercy. And remembering that, then pray. Pray for the person you find so hard to forgive. We have to remember that none of us can see into the heart of another human being. The truth is, we don't even fully understand ourselves, let alone someone else. Yes, we can know someone very well, but there still remains much that is hidden. So pray for those who have harmed you, that God would bless them according to their need. Remember who you are, a sinner, yes, but most of all, a forgiven sinner. And that is why the holy sacrament of the altar is so important in our life as Christians. For when we come to the altar, we can escape neither the fact of our sin nor the wonder of God's mercy. How much God has forgiven us, and at what a price. The sacrifice of the holy body and the precious blood of his own dear Son. Now, as we approach the end of this church year, with Advent just around the corner, we become more and more conscious of the fact that we shall one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. On that day, it really won't matter that this man insulted me or that that woman slighted me, nor that this person wasn't grateful for a thing I did, nor that another person misunderstands me and distorts everything I have to say. On that last and great day, none of that will matter. All that will matter then is, as the prophet Isaiah writes, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. All that will matter then will be mercy. Mercy will open the door to the life and joy eternal. And even now, it is in fact mercy that opens the door to life and joy for ourselves and for others. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Our prayers are asked this morning for Frank Ford and for all who mourn the death of Brainerd Jones. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. We humbly implore you, Almighty and most merciful Father, graciously to receive these our prayers which we bring before you for your holy church throughout the world, that you would be pleased to guard, to govern, and to keep it in concord and peace everywhere, and to grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all bishops, pastors, and ministers of your word, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of this district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously regard your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all the rulers of the earth, and grant them wisdom and understanding that under their peaceable governance, your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy upon the infirmities of all people. Deliver the world from error. Take away disease. Ward off famine. Set free those who are innocently imprisoned, especially those who are in suffering for your names and for your truth's sake, and those who are prisoners of war. Grant a safe return to the wayfarers, health to the sick, consolation to the bereaved, and light to the erring. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Keep in the protection of your holy angels all who travel. Give to our loved ones your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. And to the enemies of your church, grant the grace of repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We also remember before you, O Lord, your servants and handmaidens who have gone before us with the sign of faith and are now fallen asleep. Grant that we, together with them, may be partakers of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. Let us sing hymn 637. 637.